Hi, good afternoon, everyone, or good evening. Thank you for coming for tonight's meeting. This is a public scoping meeting for the DLNR East Kapolei Transit Oriented Development Project. My name is Yukino Uchiyama of Muneki Hiraga. Muneki Hiraga is a planning consultant who's preparing the EIS for this project. First of all, I'd like to introduce the project team members who are here today. From DLNR, we have Ian Hirokawa, Lauren Yasaka, Dana Vieira. We also have Tricia Watson from Hona Consulting, as well as Roxanne Kaloshian from the Wilhelm Group, who's the development consultant for the project. From Muneki Hiraga, we have Emily Murai and Tessa Munekioin, and myself, Yukino Uchiyama. Here's the agenda on the screen. This is the introduction, and Ian and Emily is going to go over the meeting and project purposes, and Emily is going to give the presentation of the project, and at the end, we're going to open up for the public comments. And I just wanted to note that this meeting is audio recorded, which is a requirement for the under the EIS rules. So, So with that, I'm going to hand over to Emily for some background of the project.
Okay, so just a project overview and location of where the project is located. It's in East Kapolei, but two of the main project areas are between the H1 freeway and Farrington Highway, and bisecting the project area is Kualakaʻi Parkway. So DLNR is proposing this master plan mixed-use development, and there will be approximately the development will consist of approximately 170 acres adjacent to the Keone'i rail station. And the project is aiming to develop this transit-oriented development community, and proposed land uses include commercial, retail, medical offices, a hotel, affordable rental housing, and light industrial / business park. Some of the project objectives include the creation of affordable rental housing opportunities, creation of jobs and economic development opportunities, improved access to public agencies and services, alternative modes of transportation to reduce reliance on automobiles, and also a variety of new land uses to generate revenue. So we're just noting that there was a prior EISPN publication. This is the second EISPN. The first prep notice was published in October of 2022, and we did hold our first scoping meeting was held November 14th, 2022. So since the publication of the first EISPN, it was determined that there are ancillary improvements that are needed on parcels that are adjacent to the project area, which were not identified in the first document. So this second EISPN specifically identifies the adjacent TMK parcels involved. However, beyond the addition of these ancillary parcels, the proposed development program for the project remains unchanged from what was presented in the first EISPN. So you can access the document through this ERP QR code right here. It's also searchable and is also linked, and the QR code is provided on the flyer and handouts that are at the sign-in table in the front. And so now Yuki is going to go over the purpose of the public scoping meeting.
Thank you, Emily. So the purpose of today's meeting is to provide to receive feedback on the range of actions, alternatives, impacts, and mitigation measures to be considered in the draft EIS document. And also, we like to receive comments on any significant issues to be analyzed in depth in the draft EIS. And with that, I'm gonna hand over to Ian Hirokawa from DLNR.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, so just maybe a few comments about DLNR and its mission and purpose. So as you can see, the mission of DLNR is to enhance, protect, conserve, and manage Hawaii's unique and limited natural, cultural, historic resources, which are held in trust for public trust for the current and future generations of the people of Hawaii and its visitors in partnership with others from the private, public and private sectors. And Land Division is one of 14 divisions within DLNR. So before I get into kind of what we do, kind of explain what Land Division does. And when you think of all the lands that the state holds, right, there are a lot of lands that are set aside by executive order for school, like schools here, hospitals, other government offices, roads, harbors, harbors and airports, you know, a lot of other uses. There's also roads and, you know, whatever infrastructure. And what Land Division does is sort of, we're the manager of those lands that aren't set aside. So whatever lands that are kind of remaining government lands, which are, we kind of refer them as unencumbered lands, we manage. So what we do is, so we assist the board. As part of managing those lands, we, when appropriate, we issue leases on them. So like in this case, you know, urban lands, easements, revocable permits, and right of entry. We also handle the shoreline certification in conjunction with OCCL and the accounting of Department of Accounting and General Services, the State Survey Division. Potential enforcement actions. We also assist with land acquisition and disposition of water licenses. So that's some of the duties we do as part of managing what we call the unencumbered lands. And like I said, when it's appropriate, when we have urban lands that aren't, you know, like conservation, we do lease them out and try to gain revenue. And what the revenue does is provide reliable long-term support for 5 divisions, including us, the Land Division. It's 100% of our annual budget. We also fund in the Engineering Division within DLNR, the Dam Safety Program and the Geothermal Resources Program, the Water Commission. We fund staff positions and funds for stream monitoring and other studies. For Forestry and Wildlife, the Threatened and Endangered Species Program, Invasive Species, and other operational expenses, and 100% of the funding for the Office of Conservation and Coastal Lands budget. And we have other development areas across the state, so we're also seeking to develop a light industrial and business park in Pulehunui on Maui, that's in central Maui. We have industrial lots in the Kanoilehua industrial area in Hilo. We also have many of the hotels along Banyan Drive in Hilo. And the Sand Island Industrial and Business Park, which is kind of right next to the recreation area. There's an industrial park, and that provides a good amount of our lease revenue. We also had the Milltown lots in Waipahu. We had 6 lots over there, two sets of 3 contiguous lots. But we just are working on a lease with the Hawaii Food Bank to allow them to expand their operations. So really, we aren't going to get any real revenue from those lots, but it is for a very important public purpose. So we are working on that to allow the food bank to expand their operations.
So this is just a brief history of the project. It started in 2015 when DLNR began the planning process for their East Kapolei lands. In June of 2017, the Board of Land and Natural Resources authorized a memorandum of agreement to be executed with the State Office of Planning for the use of the TOD Capital Improvement Project funds for a strategic master development plan. This plan was later adopted or approved by the board in October of 2020. And with that master development plan, that was used as a base for the publication of the first EISPN back in 2022, and we are here now with the publication of the second EISPN in 2024. So we also wanted to note the current land use designations. The lands are currently designated as by the state and county, or city and county of Honolulu. So by the state land use, it's designated for urban use, which is consistent with what DLNR proposes to do with these lands. The city designates most of the project area as ag. However, and so this will need to be adjusted, which is something that the city is planning to do to be consistent with the proposed uses. And this project and what it's proposing is consistent with the existing regional plans in the area. This is from the EVA development plans. You can see where the project area is outlined here. And it was proposed by this plan for industrial as well as apartments, commercial mixed use, and which is similar to what DLNR is doing. This was originally adopted in 2013 and recently updated in 2020. So this vision for EVA development has been ongoing for quite some time now. So in addition to the EVA development plan, this project also implements the East Kapolei Neighborhood TOD plan. This plan was adopted also in 2020, and it was prepared by the city to envision the project area for this transit-oriented development of mixed-use, light industrial, residential, commercial, and multifamily uses. So this is what the city will be working on to adopt in terms of this TOD-specific zoning that will be in line with the neighborhood TOD plan and as well as with the DLNR's Kapolei plan. So again, this is just an overview of the project site as it currently is. And you can see that we've added in the orange outline there is the ancillary parcels that will be used for the roadway, I'm sorry, not the roadway, but the station connection from the TOD area to KONAI station, as well as some roadway access to the sites. And so here's a little bit more detail of what is proposed in the development. As you can see, there's kind of three main areas. We have Kualakai West, Kualakai East, and the KONAI station area, which is like the TOD area. So Kualakai West is designated for light industrial use, and a portion, it is noted, a portion of this area is planned for a land exchange with DR Horton in exchange for some of the lands to the right on the red shaded parcel, which is the TOD area. And so this exchange will allow for DLNR to make better use of the TOD area by expanding that area. And to the east, we're calling that Kualakai East, and it's proposed for industrial use or light industrial use as well as affordable housing, which will be about 250 units of multifamily affordable housing. In the KONAI Station area, this is the mixed-use TOD area that'll connect to the rail station. There will be a 1,000-stall park-and-ride facility for the rail system or by Honolulu Authority for Rapid Transportation, or HART. And again, this will have mixed-use spaces for commercial, retail, medical office space, hotel, and as well as affordable housing rental units. And there's also going to be more, I guess, workforce housing and market rate housing as well. And so this mix will be about 750 units. These are just some examples of what these uses might look like. So in the TOD, mixed uses, again, a park and ride facility, commercial retail office, medical office, 750 workforce and market rate rental units. These would typically be about 6 to 8 stories. And then a 180 room hotel, which is a is proposed to be about 4 to 5 stories. In the light industrial business park areas, this is we're kind of envisioned for small scale manufacturing, warehouses, base yards, motion picture, TV studios, repair establishments, wholesaling and distribution or similar uses. Maximum height that's given is 60 feet, but 90 foot, there's a 90 foot bonus height for certain community if there's community amenities provided, such as public parks or similar uses that are beneficial, there's a height bonus given. And then lastly, affordable housing, the multifamily rental units. This is the area that's in Kualakai East. There's proposed to be 250 of these multifamily rental units, and these are a little bit lower scale than the TOD area, and it will be about 2 to 4 stories. And these are just some images of what, examples of what might be or could be envisioned in these uses. So this is a kind of where we're at and where we're going with the environmental impact statement. The second EIS that we're discussing now was published on the 8th of this month, and this public scoping meeting is within the 30-day public comment period. Next, we will have we'll be publishing the draft EIS, targeting for that sometime in 2025, and there will be a 45-day public comment period following that publication. And then finally, the final EIS, which will take into account some of those comments received and addressed as much as best as possible in the final EIS, and that will have a 60-day challenge period. Below is just a list of technical studies that will be prepared, and a lot of these are in progress or near completion, but these studies and their consultant names are here, and they will be included and discussed in the draft EIS that we're working on now. So as I mentioned, we did have a first EISPN that was published, and we have received some preliminary comments from that first document. So some of those comments that we received that will be addressed in the draft EIS are potential impacts and mitigation measures for endangered and threatened species, wanting to have connectivity with the surrounding community and the activation of open space such as Kalo'i Gulch, the need for a market study, which will be included in the draft EIS, wanting to have discussion of water sufficiency and conservation, as well as discussion of traffic and multimodal improvements or mitigation measures. We do note that there will be a transportation demand management plan and shared parking analysis included in the draft EIS. For project implementation, these are the steps that are, or kind of process that will be needed to make this project a reality. As I mentioned, the city will need to adopt the TOD zoning ordinance to be consistent with the proposed uses. And also, the project is not going to be developed, you know, immediately. It'll be over a phased time frame over a 20-year period, and this phasing will be discussed in the draft EIS. So after the draft EIS publication, DLNR intends to issue a request for proposal to select a master developer who would ultimately develop the project. So our immediate next steps after this is to finalize the technical studies for the draft EIS, as well as, of course, collect comments and additional agency comments that come in outside of this scoping meeting, and then publish the draft EIS in 2025.
So So before we open up for public comments, I want to explain how to provide comments on the EIS preparation notice. One way to do that is provide a comment or complete a comment card at this meeting. So the comment card is available at the front desk. And you can also provide oral comments at this meeting. Or if you need more time, you can provide written comment letter and send a letter to this address on the screen. And please note that deadline for comments is October 8th, 2024. And I also want to explain some guidelines for participation in the public comment section of this meeting. So first of all, this is not a question and answer session. So we will not be providing answers or making any decisions at this meeting, but your comments will inform the draft EIS. And you can provide your effective comments can you can speak to the range of actions, alternatives, impacts, and mitigation measures to be considered in the draft EIS, or you can speak to any significant issues to be analyzed in depth in the draft EIS. With that, we would like to open up for comments. So anyone who would like to speak, please come up to the front, to the microphone, and please state your name before you speak. Okay, if no comments are provided, we really appreciate your time today. Thank you so much for your time, and we'll be publishing the draft EIS sometime next year. So thank you very much. And here's the contact for us, and you can also find the second EISBN on the link above on the slide. Thank you.